So the beauty of this is you can go buy it today. At Verizon, you can go down and you can buy wireless powered phones and wireless powered pads like this right here. And you can go buy those from Verizon. And you can also buy them from other manufacturers like NTT Docomo and Sharp in Japan. So we're starting to see that manufacturers like Motorola, Pantech, HTC, Samsung, are all putting wireless power into the phones. This is a wireless powered phone right here that I use. And it's so convenient just to come home from work and just to drop it right on a charging pad and just have it charge. So I don't have to think about charging anymore, which is quite interesting. So how it works is we're really trying to get rid of the whole idea of having to know what cord, what cable, what power you really need for a device. So now, just by setting it down, this device is actually telling the pad exactly what energy it needs, what voltage it needs, what current it wants, and it communicates. And it has a protocol that it actually talks to that base with. So just by setting it down, it's asking and requesting exactly what it needs, and it's getting exactly what it needs. The beauty of this is I'm not worried whether it's a 220 environment or a 110 environment. I don't have to bring the adapters with me when I travel anymore. I simply just set it down on the charging pad and it's charging exactly what it needs. The beauty of that is I can also do that in tablets. So now I can move from my phone, my headset, my camera, my other portable electronic devices and just set them down, and they're all universal. So now it goes from power to power to power, and it charges it exactly the way that I want it. The beauty of wireless charging in this format is when you have universal power, now all of a sudden you can do additional things with it. And we're going to show you some other examples. So now that we've kind of talked a little bit about low power, we're going to talk a little more about high power applications. So one of the things we have here is a blender. And this is showing us the kitchen of the future. When we talk about the kitchen of the future, we're talking about through your granite surface, through your countertop, being able to power your toaster, your other appliances. So what we're going to do here is we're actually going to make some margaritas for you. We figured since we're in Austin, we'll make some margaritas for the whole group. How's that sound? So what we're going to do is we're going to make some margaritas, and while we're making margaritas, I'm going to tell you a little bit about how we're doing wireless power in the kitchen. So imagine when you're able to have hot spots in your kitchen, just like your present stove. You know, you have a couple of places where you can cook. Well, imagine your kitchen's set up like that, but it's under the countertop. So you don't have to worry about anything getting dirty. You can clean it off just by wiping down your counter when you're done. And just by setting things right on top of your counter, you can actually power them just that easy. And not only can you power there, but you can also cook there. And we're going to show you both of those examples of how you can cook and power through the surface. So the idea we're showing, you see some cords and cables here today, but where we really see this going is being able to just drop this stuff right on your countertop and be able to charge it and be able to power it, just that simple. There's no battery in this. That's actually powering a half horsepower motor directly. The beauty of this is you can just drop it right in your dishwasher when you're done. You don't have to worry about the cord, the cable. You don't have to worry about anyone pulling it off the countertop. And it's just that simple to be able to pull your appliance out and not look for a cord.
Yes.
We've actually had it in my household where we can't use an appliance because we can't find that particular cord or cable for that appliance.
Dave?
That looks really good. So how many people here, just a show, how many people here have had a situation where you've tried to plug something in and because the cord was frayed or it had bent or broken, mm-hmm. had not been able to charge that particular device? Why don't you hand some margaritas out?
Yeah? You want a margarita? Anyone else here? Yes.
I hear they're kind of strong.
Sure.
So the other thing that we've done that's kind of interesting is not only can we have a rather uninteresting pad, we can actually have interesting sculptures like this wood bowl where I can drop my keys in here and I can drop my phone in here and I can charge them so simply just by dropping them in here when as I empty my pockets and I come home.
Anyway.
So these types of things about making it convenient for you to be able to charge, the same holds true in your car. You sit down in your car, you just drop your phone right in your center console, and it charges. You don't have to worry about cords and cables, you don't have to worry about plugging in. So now we're gonna kind of go the next step, and we're actually going to take that same kitchen of the future, and now what Sharon's done is she's actually started preheating the pan. This is no normal pan. What we're doing with dishware, cookware, and the pans of the future, if you will, is this pan is actually reporting back the temperature back to the base. So now it has the intelligence of knowing what's taking place from the power supply and what's taking place at the pan. So now, imagine mom makes your favorite recipe. She uses this pan to make your favorite recipe and she records that recipe. What temperature she set it at, how long she cooked it for, all these different scenarios about how she cooked. She records it and just like you would record a song. When it's done, she can basically go right into being able to play that, save that for you, and then when you get that recipe, you can actually play that recipe back, literally. So it will know that it's gonna boil and simmer. You drop the noodles in, it knows exactly when you place the noodles in because it sees a temperature differential, and now it moves on to the next part of the recipe. Oh, what? Wait a minute, you're doing your laundry? You can basically get an SMS, let you know that, you know what, it's time for you to come back to your recipe. So this whole thing steps you through this process and allows you to delay the process if you want based on how busy you are doing other things. So, and not only can we do this with cooking in pans, but now imagine you take your soup off out of your counter and your soup's in a container that actually has this technology built into it, which can be as simple as printed electronics. You literally, and we've done this at CES, you literally set your soup container on the same power supply and it communicates back the temperature of the soup and will actually cook that soup faster than your microwave, faster than your stove, using induction heat. So all right in the package at exactly the temperature that you want it to be. You're not worried about it being overcooked, you're not worried about it being undercooked. It's actually feeding that information back to you real time and controlling that recipe as it was desired, as it was meant to be, I should say. So these are some of the things that we really see as far as where we're going with the kitchen of the future. And again, we talked about toasters, we talked about waffle irons, we've done George Foreman grills this way, we've done a plethora of different appliances using this technology. And again, no cords, no cables. Imagine if you had a bar with this technology built into it, they become chafing dishes, so now because it's a specific type of device, it can maintain a temperature at a specific level, and you no longer need sterno or other materials to keep it at that temperature. So this is what we like about what we call intelligent wireless power, because intelligent wireless power allows us to control that temperature cycle and be able to deliver that in a very interesting way, where that loop of your recipe and how you can deliver that wireless power scenario can be delivered in appliances. So, are we cooked?
I think so.
So we just cooked some sausages, and it's going to be important to show that they're actually cooking. So we'll. We'll share some of these too. Give me some. Yeah, that's better. Thank you.
So, just hand them through. You'll need one.
Anyone else want some? Try one. So the idea here is getting rid of the cords and cables. We're really just showing you just a glimpse today of what that really means, because we really haven't gotten this to a point where you can see the beauty of where appliances and where cookware can go next. Because as this takes the next step, you can imagine that this can all be incorporated inside of it. You notice we just cooked in this and I could put my hand underneath it. The whole idea of where cookware can go next gets very interesting in where we take it. So that's kind of an example of really high power stuff now. Now I'm going to show you really low power stuff. So we're talking about packaging, being able to feed the temperature back from soup. What we've done here is we're able to actually take a package and make that package light. This is all in the ink, in the printing of that package. And by powering this package using wireless power, we can do all kinds of amazing things with ink. It's all printed. So now you can actually have decals that can be worn as a EEG sensor in the hospital, and it can be powered from your hospital bed, and it's printed. We can have packaging. Now, the interesting thing about packaging, we're not so interested in flashing all these lights at you when you walk down the aisle in the supermarket, but imagine if you had your shopping list and the things that were on your shopping list actually lit up to tell you that those were the ones that you needed to pick, and it found the vinegar and the different things that you were looking for on your shopping list. The other thing that we like about printed electronics and wireless power and packaging is that it feeds back information to you. What we mean by that is it can tell you when something needs to be reordered. It can tell you the volume of how much window cleaner you have in your window cleaner container, so now you know when it needs to be reordered. There's so many functional things we can do with packaging in the way that we make it intelligent and we power it remotely like this. So we're pretty excited about everything from NFL tickets and lottery tickets all the way through to, believe it or not, electric vehicles.
So Dave has shown you what we can do with the technology. Let's now talk about what the technology can do for you. One of the things that this technology can help solve is the problem that we all face every now and then with having empty batteries or being afraid of having an empty battery. Battery life is the number one complaint of all users of smartphones, and it's getting worse. The technology, the battery technology, cannot keep up with the increasing power that we demand from the applications that we run on our phones. So it's really getting worse and worse. And there doesn't seem to be much that we can do about it. We can have larger batteries, but then you'll be carrying a brick. You could carry a spare battery, but that doesn't really solve the anxiety problem, because now you'd have to be worried about keeping two batteries charged. You could think about faster charging. Let's compare it with having a car that breaks down every now and then. Faster charging then means that when you break down, the road service gets to you twice as fast. I'd rather have a car that doesn't break down. So faster charging doesn't cut it either. What we see is that with wireless charging of your phones, things change. And I'll try to explain that by showing you what happens if you do wireless charging. So first, compare with wire charging. I want to wire my phone. On my desk is the well-known USB cable. I plug it in. Ah, is that? Yeah, it's the right way. Then, if I want to make a call, I take it out, make the call, put it back in. When the phone rings, I have to take it out again. I used to have a charger like this on my desk with the cable. And in practice, what happened was that I delayed charging until I knew that I wouldn't need the phone. So the effect was that I ran out of battery every now and then just because it didn't charge. With wireless charging, you just, when you're in the office or at home, you just put your phone down and pick it up again. That looks like a small difference, but it's a big difference psychologically. And the effect is that everywhere I sit down, in the office, at home, I put my phone down and it tops off the battery. And I stop worrying about it because the phone is full. To make that really work, you'd also want to do that everywhere you sit down, not just in the office and at home, but also in a restaurant, in the car, coffee shop, wherever you sit down, and you put your phone down, it tops off the battery. That would really make would make the worries go away completely. And to make that happen, to make it happen that we can really charge everywhere, all the time, we teamed up with about 100 companies in the Wireless Power Consortium to make sure that our products work together and that the chargers that are made by one phone manufacturer work with the phones of another manufacturer and that we can really power everything everywhere. And the thing I'd like you to remember is that logo. Because that logo is the logo that shows that a product can be charged wirelessly. If it's on your phone and if it's on the table, you know that they will work together and they will charge your phone. This is like Wi-Fi for wireless connectivity, Bluetooth for Bluetooth headsets. If you see the logo, the products will work together.
So a lot's happening in this space, and it's really exciting because we're seeing a whole movement of wireless intelligent power starting to create new opportunities in this world we live in. And when you think about reliability and warranty and the different things that are associated with cords and connectors today, making a device waterproof, making a device more reliable becomes quite impactful when you can add wireless power to it. You can actually add a lot of value to devices when you start to add wireless power too, because now imagine sitting down at a table at a restaurant and knows that I'm at table number 7 and I'm going to place an order and I just asked for service or I just paid my check. And I can do that all through the same infrastructure as well. So when we think about wireless power, we're also thinking about charging electric vehicles. And where we go with charging electric vehicles is quite interesting. So now imagine, and we won best of show with this, imagine pulling up your Tesla Roadster and you just park in a parking spot near work. This ring underneath the vehicle, which is inches from the bottom of the vehicle, charges that vehicle just by parking in a parking spot. No cords, no cables. You didn't have to pull the cord out of your trunk in your suit. You just park in the parking spot and it charges. Not only does it charge, but it knows the location that you're charging. It knows your vehicle and it's connected to your phone. So now when I go in, I'm paying for my parking, I'm paying for my electricity, and I know the percentage of charge of my vehicle all through my cell phone, just by parking in a parking spot. This is our vision of wireless power and where we see it going with wireless vehicles. So now when you think about EV charging, it becomes quite interesting just to pull in your parking spot, just to pull in your garage, and to be able to charge. In fact, when you think about how simple that becomes and how easy that is to charge your vehicle, it really kind of sets the groundwork to say, why would I ever want to do this any other way? You think about gas stations and having to plug in and to sit there and fuel your vehicle. Imagine just parking at the supermarket and going and getting groceries and you're fueling your vehicle. That time in between may go away. So we kind of like that idea of where this brings us and what it means. So Minno, what do you think about that type of power?
I like it. I'd like my car to be fueled that way.
What about a whole room? So imagine beaming power to a whole room like this. That's one of the things that we're talking about.
So what about the demo that you're beaming energy from stage right into your phones? Are you ready for that demo? Dave, are you ready to zap the audience?
Not really. So when we think about that in that context, this comes back to Tesla's day. We can transfer power wirelessly, but we can only transfer just so much power wirelessly. And let me rephrase that, safely. When we think about transferring power to this whole audience, we can do that. That can happen today. And we can do it quite efficiently, actually. But we need to be able to do this safely. And the demonstrations that we're showing you today, even though they're high power, even though you're charging a vehicle, they're all done within safe constraints for you and your family. So when we talk about wireless power, that's where we're going in the future. One of the things that I want to show you that is part of the convenience of wireless power and where we go is imagine being able to set your backpack, your purse down, whatever, and being able just to drop it in place through a countertop, and while that device is in another media, like a purse or a backpack, etc., and be able to charge that phone simply by setting it down on a surface. That's what we're talking about. Having it located, not even having to pull it back out of that in order to charge. What do you think about that, Minno?
Yeah. I'm not really a handbag guy.
I understand. So we'd like to show you our predictions, our top five predictions for wireless power in the future. Wireless power will be fully integrated into mobile devices globally. When you buy this device, when you go buy smartphones, wireless power will be part of that smartphone in the near future.
And Qi, the wireless power standard, and the logo of Qi will be on all those devices. And not just in the US. If you travel to Japan, you can already charge your phone there in coffee shops and at stations.
So get ready to charge in coffee shops, airports, cars, and your home. You'll see automotive launches that will have Qi wireless power built into car consoles. You'll see restaurants that are gonna be offering wireless charging, just dropping it right into your tabletop. And you're gonna see other applications of this in infrastructure like stadiums and things like that as well.
And believe it or not, you'll really start worrying about battery charging when you constantly top it up. It will become so easy and convenient that you stop thinking about it.
So it all comes down to wireless power will be integrated into everything electrical. We simply see the means to make things waterproof, to make things more reliable, to make things simpler for you as a consumer, makes sense. So think wireless power, not wireless charging. So I want to thank you. I want you to keep watching wireless power and where it's going. And I'd really like to share a video with you here before we get into some questions about kind of a summary of where wireless power is gone and where it's going in the future. We'd be quite happy to answer any questions. We ask that you come up and use the microphone directly, and Minnow and I will answer any questions that you may have about wireless power and the future of wireless power.
Hi. I'm just wondering if you know or have any insights into how far or when it might be possible to do broadcast power, kind of like that Tesla image of the power being shot across the room.
Yeah, you mean technically possible? Or
when it may be safe and actually usable, or if that's something that's being thought about.
Yeah, technically that was already 100 years ago. It's the safe part that is that's a concern. And Dave, what about the when?
So, you know, we believe that we can transfer a certain amount of power into broadcast mode like that. But it's about how much. And when you think about where these devices are going, they're asking for more and more power. So that's one of the things that is quite important for us, is to make sure we're doing it in a safe mode. So as regulatory changes down the road, maybe more down the road, but not today.
I guess I'm just curious about the regulations. Like, how much power can you transmit that way? Like, has the regulatory environment even have a structure to handle this?
Yes. There's regulations called ICNIRP that measure how many energy is generated in the body. It measures heat generated in the human body by radio frequency fields, magnetic fields, electric fields. And that's a way you set up equipment and measure from a certain distance how much power is generated by the equipment. And that determines how far you can go. These regulations are set up to make mobile phones safe and other electromagnetic equipment safe. And the levels that you can really transmit through the air, the power density there is limited. It's very limited.
But if you can imagine charging under a vehicle, we can do 5 kilowatts easily and still meet those same safety regulatory concerns. Yeah. These environments, you can do the same thing as long as you control where that wireless power is going.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is not a good idea. Like putting your hand underneath. But this locks the field completely. So no field left outside. That's the idea.
So in comparison to wireless, or in comparison to wired, I know that I get a kilowatt hour and I pay 10 cents for it and I run my radio for an hour. Is it one-to-one with induction, or does it take more energy, less energy?
So with this configuration right here, cooking, you're actually cooking more efficiently than a microwave, more efficiently than gas or radiated electric heat. So when we talk about efficiency of powering the blender, for example, we're actually about 96.4% efficiency when we run the blender. So the cord, the cord's probably about 4.4% efficient, just the cord by itself. So the interesting thing when you're talking about direct power, we're pretty close to the same types of efficiency with a little bit of a loss. When you're talking about power supplies, like these power supplies that power your wireless devices, we're actually right in the same ballpark as the efficiencies of those devices, DC into DC out. So we're actually net just as good as some of these direct charging. Sometimes people think that when you plug your power supply in, it's 100% efficient. It isn't. You've got the efficiency of your power supply. And we've made these power supplies very efficient that way, around 74-75% in delivering the wireless power to your phone, for example.
Hi. Wondering if you could comment on the effect this might have on the actual power grid. Because a nice thing of us not being able to all charge at the same time is that the peak power is kind of distributed because of that way, right? But because it's not convenient. Now that everybody's charging everywhere at the same time, do you expect there to be some kind of impact on the overall power grid? Can it handle everybody charging everywhere all the time?
So the beauty of what wireless power does to that is we're adding intelligence to power. We're tying it together to where the power supply actually has to talk to the device and vice versa. So the interesting thing to your question about the power grid and how do you manage that, well, now once you've got a communications between the two, now you can manage it the way you want to. So it actually adds intelligence to those scenarios. So if you've got 10 cars in a parking garage that are all charging wirelessly, that scenario can be managed very effectively, where if it was plugged in a cord, it would have to be managed differently.
You mentioned some standards. Are those standards now standards in the industry or a standard between your company and certain other companies?
The standard, the Qi specification,
yes,
is supported by 100 companies. So that's all mobile phone companies except Apple. Carriers like Verizon, NTT Docomo in Japan, Orange in Europe. So it is the industry together making the specification. It's an open specification. You can download it from the website. There's a whole supply chain doing it. So it's not a company with a fan club around it. It's really the industry doing it.
Well, and that was my question. Is there a competing standard at this particular point?
No, there is not. There are proprietary solutions. So there's companies that do their own specification and are incompatible with the other companies do. It can be tempting to become the Microsoft of wireless power, but I don't think that's going to happen. It's open standards are really the way to go. And if you want products integrated into mobile phones, proprietary systems are not so very attractive for the phone manufacturers. They will go for open standards.
So I have a few questions. One, can you talk a little bit about charging speed compared to plugging a phone in? I've heard in the past that wireless charging is a lot slower. I wonder if that's being improved upon. A little bit about cost of the components to add them to your electronics through the device itself as well as the charging pad. And the third thing I want to talk about is the distance. If it gets like beyond an inch, does it go down exponentially, et cetera? How does that work with the existing technology?
Sure.
Dave? Yeah.
So speed of charging with wireless power, what we've done with these devices is this phone, for example, it's Motorola Droid 3, charges just as fast when I put it on the pad as it does when I plug it in. So it's one-to-one. If it's we charge at whatever the phone's designed to charge at.
Yeah, convenience is key. If the user experience is less than with a wire, what's the point?
So this, another thing you talked about is distance. So with wireless power, especially if we have a surface that we want to transfer wireless power through, we've literally done meters, power over meters. But so it's all in the design of your transmitter and receiver. So we can add distance, especially if it's in a toolbox and you're not going to have access to certain things, or you know, things can be dropped in it. You can have things charged throughout that whole surface. So that's another piece. You mentioned cost. The cost aspect of this is, in your wall wart or your power supply that you plug in today, there's no additional electronics inside there that we really don't have in our wireless power system. So what you'll see is you'll see that start to integrate into phones first, but you'll also see those electronics that are in your power supply basically have all the elements of your wireless power supply needed in it. So so it can be one-to-one, I believe, over time, over mass production.
My question is in regards to the capacity of the power being relayed to the battery. So traditionally, when you plug in your mobile devices and then unplug them frequently, it can reduce the capacity of your battery. How does wireless power affect that if, let's say, theoretically speaking, you now have the ability to charge it and take it off of the charger more frequently? How would that affect the battery power capacity?
So it's all about chemical cycles. If I'm keeping my battery topped off, I'm going through less chemical cycles and I'm actually able to maintain that battery over a longer period of time. So that's actually a good thing. It used to be that you wanted to deep cycle batteries and go through that chemical cycle with some of the earlier chemistries. That's not as important anymore. So it shouldn't, you know, when you top your batteries off, basically what happens are the cell phone manufacturers start to change chemistries to the way that the charging cycle can be impacted in order to prolong the life of the batteries.
Yep. Battery life actually gets better if you do short cycles rather than deep cycles.
Right. Thank you. You were talking about if you set your backpack on the charging surface, what if you have more than one device in there that can take the charging? How does it deal with that? So say you had a laptop and a cell phone in your backpack at the same time.
Sure, we're doing that today where a single power supply, there's no reason why it can't power multiple devices, and we're doing this today to where it would just power the multiple devices that were in there. And that's really the end goal of wireless charging, is to be able to throw your devices down on a surface and have them charge.
A couple questions. First of all, what frequency does that transmit? Is it at a DC or an AC?
So we're at around 80 to 250 kilohertz is the band that we're in right now.
Okay. Are these appliances developed for that frequency, or can you convert existing appliances?
So you can use existing appliances. So the interesting thing about that particular frequency, even with the blender, it was a small amount of retrofit in order to make this blender actually work with wireless power. And then for the cell phones and the tablets and things like that, it's a simply adding, instead of the connector, adding a little coil and a very tiny chip into this unit, and now it receives the power wirelessly.
And that's just an aftermarket product you can buy and put on there? Or you have to buy it new with that on there already?
So there's multiple applications. We have people, partners in the WPC that plug a little ring in the bottom of here and can retrofit these products. There's people that make skins, people that make adapters for these. So within the 106 members of the Wireless Power Consortium, there's companies that do a lot of different aspects that yep. can adapt products in different ways and or integrate technology into product in different ways.
Yes. Mass market adoption will really happen only when it gets integrated into the phone. And you don't have to use an accessory to work with it. And that's what's now happening in Japan. So NTT Docomo, the largest carrier, is now putting wireless charging capability in all their phones. So it's no longer customers can choose, they get it. And that makes it possible to make it attractive for coffee shops, retailers to also put the facilities in their retail stores. Because lots of people have the capability to charge.
In 2009, I saw Witricity demoed on a TED Talk. And how does that differ from what we saw today?
So the Witricity technology is it's induction power. It's the same thing that we're doing here. There's the what's the difference? The difference is that we've worked for over 6 years on bringing together a standard and bringing companies together that where there's a protocol that will provide a single means to power multiple devices with the Qi protocol. That's a hard road. The other aspect is we've actually solved the problem of getting that into these devices. We've worked with all the major OEMs. They're all part of the Wireless Power Consortium. We've built that technology into these devices. That's a long road. That's not the easy road. So there's a lot of people out there showing demos. There's a lot of people out there showing, hey, we can do wireless power. You're going to see a whole new rise of Nikola Tesla and his capabilities and what he brought to this world shortly because of this onslaught of what's happening in the wireless power arena.
And Vitricity emphasized the idea that you could transmit through the air over longer distances. So they made these demos where you could see power transmitted over very large distances, televisions that you could power from behind. And that is a bit misleading, because technically, yes, you can do it, but you can never get it past regulators. And I think as a company, you wouldn't want to sell it because it's too close or above the electromagnetic field exposure limits. So it's unrealistic.
Yeah, hi. It sounds like you guys are working very closely with the mobile device companies. Do they have any concerns over the mechanical thickness that may be added by using your product?
The mechanical aspect?
Yeah, is there
the phone thickness, does it become bigger?
Yeah. So we're really working hard on material science and other things to really reduce that profile. And then the newer phones, it's down to almost paper thin type of embodiments. So yeah, they are obviously that's expensive real estate, and they're always worried about that the thickness of those phones. So but you'll see that's actually with mass production, there's solutions for that, and the newer wireless power phones are very thin.
Okay. Yeah. And then I had another question. Do you have any limitations as to the materials that you can transfer through?
Sorry?
Do you have any limitations as to the materials that you can transfer through? Like, do you have trouble transferring through, for instance, metal? You talked about granite, you have no problem, but...
So, literally, we can transfer through almost any material except conductive metals. Mm-hmm. We've actually manufactured and designed our own metals that we can transfer wireless power through, and stainless, titanium, aluminum, for example. So we can really... Granite and all non-conductive materials are very easy to transfer wireless power through.
Yeah, thank you.
You bet. Well, thank you very much for your time today. We really appreciate it. It was a lot of fun being able to share this with you.